translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, the root of all religious principles, and the memory of great authorities. O King Yudhisthira, this principle of religion is to be understood as evidence. On the basis of this religious principle, everything is satisfied, including one's mind, soul, and even one's body. Purport. As stated by Jamaraj, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Jamaraj, the representative of the Lord, who takes care of the living beings after their death, gives his verdict as to how and when the living being will change his body. He is the authority, and he says that the religious principles consist of the codes and laws given by God. No one can manufacture religion, and therefore manufactured religious systems are rejected by the followers of the Vedic principles. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, it is said, Vedais cha sarvair aham eva vedyaha. Vedic knowledge means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Therefore, whether one speaks of the Vedas, scriptures, religion, or the principle of everyone's occupational duty, all of them must aim at understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 1-6 therefore concludes, Sabai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Jato Bhakti Radhoksaje Ahaitakya Pratihata Yagatma Supraseedati. In other words, religious principles aim at learning how to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. That service must be unmotivated and unchecked by material conditions. Then human society will be happy in all respects. The Smriti, the scriptures following the principles of Vedic knowledge, are considered the evidence of Vedic principles. There are 20 different types of scriptures of scripture for following religious principles, and among them the scriptures of Manu and Yajnavalkya are considered to be all-pervading authorities. In the Yajnavalkya Smriti, it is said, Smriti, Shruti Smriti Sadachara Svasya Cha Priyam Atmanaha Samyak Sankalpaja Kamu Dharma Mulam Idam Smritam. One should learn human behavior from Shruti, the Vedas, and from Smriti, the scriptures following the Vedic principles. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harera Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. The purport is that to become a devotee, one must follow the principles laid down in Shruti and Smriti. One must follow the codes of the Puranas and the Pancharatriki Vidhi. One cannot be a pure devotee without following the Shruti and Smriti. And the Shruti and Smriti without devotional service cannot lead one to the perfection of life. Therefore, from all the evidence, the conclusion is that without bhakti, devotional service, there is no question of religious principles. God is the central figure in the performance of religious principles. Almost everything going on in this world as religion is devoid of any idea of devotional service and is therefore condemned by the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without devotional service, so-called religious principles are only cheating. End of the purport. In our Shastra we find the term Swadharma. Isn't it? Swadharma. Swadharma refers actually to two things. There is spiritual Swadharma, and generally when we speak of Dharma, most people and probably most devotees as well think more in terms of religious principles, isn't it? And as a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada explains how many times the Dharma is translated in English as religion, but Srila Prabhupada corrects and explains that this is not actually the true translation of Dharma, or the true or complete understanding of Dharma. In the purport here, and the verse itself, of course, it is mentioning about Shruti and Smriti. The Shruti portion, actually, of the Vedas are those instructions given directly by the Supreme Lord and deal primarily with spiritual subject matters. whereas the Shruti are made up of various literatures that deal with a lot of material subject matters, material knowledge. Therefore, one of the very strong points being made here, again, both in the text and also the purport, is that anyone who claims or professes to be dharmic or to follow dharma must have a very clear understanding of these two levels of dharma. Now, most people in the material world have no knowledge of dharma whatsoever. and very often, those who are devotees, of course, Prabhupada speaks about people who are practicing different religious systems. And he's very strongly stating that in most of these religious systems, because there is no proper understanding of devotion or devotional service or bhakti, because actually bhakti, as we know, bhakti is reserved actually for Krishna, for a person. Bhakti is the foundational nature and quality of the spirit soul, and its perfectional stage and its perfectional level is when we find the object of love, a person. The supreme person means Krishna. So, although many people in the world who may not be Vaishnavas do practice some form of religiosity, If it is devoid, then most of those practices are devoid of the element of bhakti, because that person is not there with whom we can have a relationship. So those who are totally materialistic, they are even more in a more difficult situation, is that in that their understanding of dharma, either on the spiritual level and on the material level, is totally absent, which is largely the situation that we find in modern day society. You know, the accent, as we know, primarily being on materialism, you know, more and more materialism, and that comes out in different, let's say, policies, main policies of governments all over the world, as economic development. Isn't it the main thrust or the main focus in all the countries, is economic development? And when we, of course, have a little bit of knowledge about dharma, we know how, in another context, there are four basic principles, beginning with dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. I don't want to speak too much on that right now, but I just want to focus on this aspect of swadharma. So, on the one hand, materialistic people, especially modern-day society, are devoid of this understanding, and therefore we have an extremely, you know, chaotic situation all over the world. Those who are in a better position, who are following some kind of religious system, they have at least some acceptance. They accept that God exists, but their understanding of God is very vague. Huh? Their understanding of God and their understanding of the essence of dharma, both in terms of spiritual and material, is absent, isn't it? Now, if we come to those who are Vaishnavas, means our society, our ISKCON society, that Srila Prabhupada has established, we have, I would, in my humble observation and understanding, we are giving especially strong and primary importance on the spiritual swadharma. That spiritual swadharma can be understood as Bhagavat dharma. Another word that we find with the word swa. Swa means what is natural. Swarup, our swarup. Jivera swarup hoy, Krishna nityadas. Our natural, eternal quality and form, identity, is to be eternal servants of Krishna. So that's, as for most devotees, that's quite clear and easy to understand. Of course, it's not always easy to put into practice, because bhakti, the science of bhakti, the science of devotion, is the greatest of sciences, and it takes generally many, many lifetimes. And we know, as we read about the science of the of bhakti, the science of devotional service, there are many levels, and it takes a long time for us to actually, theoretically we may understand many things, but the actual practice and coming to the higher levels of bhakti are not so easy. So that's one side, swadharma, spiritual swadharma. What we as devotees and members of ISKCON need to understand, and this I'm trying to connect with this verse, especially, is that there is a specific material swadharma which also needs to be understood, not only theoretically, but actually needs to be put into practice. Now, in the verse here, it mentions that smriti is meant to serve as evidence of shruti. In other words, if we understand properly, if we have actually the proper spiritual knowledge, then the actual evidence of our understanding that knowledge will be how we apply it. isn't it, in our daily lives. Just like every day, those who regularly come to Mangalarti have some understanding that this is, you know, they're putting into practice an important instruction, even though they may not be always ecstatic, you know, getting up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But initially, as we know, we perform many activities out of a sense of duty. And then gradually, as a purification takes place, it will become more spontaneous. That's what we, that's how Srila Rupa Goswami explains, you know, the level of sadhana bhakti, which leads with, gradually, which leads to raganuga bhakti, spontaneous, natural attraction and practice of devotional service. So, we speak a lot about this, of course, as devotees, and we have classes and seminars on it. What we understand less, I would say, and what I feel is, well, it's not a question of feeling, it's what our Shastra is trying to explain to us. It is equally important for us to understand this dimension of material swadharma. And to a large extent, my observation is that as a society of practicing devotees, we are lacking. We are very much lacking in this understanding of swadharma, of this material level of swadharma. And what's important to understand is that Krishna and his being the Supreme Lord has given us the tools, has created systems. Bhakti is a spiritual system, which is very intricate. You know, it goes into the whole science of rasa. Rasa is vast subject matter, very intricate. As a matter of fact, in some sections of the Nectar Devotion, Sri Rupa Goswami mentions that, you know, this is, we won't discuss too much about this because it's very involved. You know, it's a very involved subject matter. So, Krishna, in his wisdom, and out of his, because he has such great intelligence, the greatest intelligence, he is the greatest scientist, isn't it? He has created systems, both spiritual systems and material systems. And it is of utmost importance for us to understand, because we are here in the material world, how to blend and how to harmonize both of these systems. So I mentioned about the spiritual swadharma we refer to as Bhagavat Dharma. And the material swadharma is actually referred to as Daishisri Radha Vukulananda Ki Jai. Is actually referred to as Varnasrama Dharma. And the message I get when I read this verse and when I meditate on it is that our understanding of the spiritual swadharma, although theoretically one can, you know, if we take a personality like Haridas Thakur, he was totally absorbed in chanting the holy name, and very often, well, these are also instructions that we receive, that, you know, we chant the holy name, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy in life. And therefore, there is often very less stress or importance given to the other, we could say, material dimension, because we have an understanding as devotees that, you know, we're meant to become detached from the material world. You know, we're meant to minimize our material activities, etc., like that, and actually increase, which is true. However, we should not forget, you know, the basic instructions given by Krishna in the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita as well, which deal with our, we could say, material duties. We have simultaneously spiritual duties and we also have material duties. This, of course, is a very major and very involved topic. And I think it's important for devotees to know that there are certain activities, certain courses or seminars that are being given, certain efforts within our ISKCON society to actually bring about, I would say, a greater awareness regarding this particular aspect. I generally end up speaking on this a little bit more because, well, it's like as devotees, we all have certain areas maybe of particular interest that we have, and we generally like to, it's like, you know, if you're a musician, you generally like to speak about music. If you're an artist, so whatever area that we have some particular attraction to or that we're involved with. So I wanted to bring this particular verse to the attention of devotees, to at least, I'm sure many devotees are aware of this verse. However, because it's part of, you know, five chapters that are spoken by, you know, one of our Mahajans, 12 Mahajans. So to hear Narada Muni actually is a very unique personality for us as Vaishnavas. Who can say why? I have something specific actually in my mind, but maybe some of you are aware of it as well. I'm sorry? Yes, that is part of it. Not. I'm looking for something a little more complete. yes. He is the scheduled incarnation for teaching Karma Yoga. Where is that? From? okay. okay, not because now Karma Yoga has come in the picture. So, yeah, what you're saying is something that is generally less known. Narada Muni is important for us as Vaishnavas because of all the sons of Lord Brahma, isn't it? He focuses and specializes on bhakti, isn't it? He is an expert in terms of bhakti devotional service, number one. And he is also an expert, as you rightly mentioned, in terms of varnashram. So in other words, we have here, you know, a personality. Of course, you know, all of our acharyas are understanding these two levels of dharma. But Narada Muni is especially important for us because, you know, as one of the 12 Mahajans, he is expert in both of these aspects of Swadharma. And therefore, we can learn so many things from him in terms of our practice of devotion, devotional service, bhakti, and simultaneously we can learn so much from him in terms of our material swadharma or varnasama dharma. So, for many years, I you know, it's like in our practice of spiritual life, in our journey in devotional service, as we practice, as we hear, as we read, you know, some things become a little more, clear. We get a little bit more realizations, and that is meant to take place and should take place because that is a natural process. As nicely explained actually in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, when the mind becomes peaceful, when the mind becomes situated in the mode of goodness, and that's practically a prerequisite. You know, Prabhupada explains that spiritual life begins actually, we can hope to transcend the modes of material nature when we become fixed at least in the mode of goodness, isn't it? And therefore, we have this very nice verse. I'm sure many of you have read it. That's also a great inspiration. Evam prasana manasu. When the mind becomes prasanna, in the mode of goodness, unaffected by the modes of passion and ignorance, evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti jogata bhagavat tattva vigyanam mukta sangha se jayate. So actually, that verse is very important in that it helps us to understand that only when we become situated in the mode of goodness can we, you know, expect to have more, let's say, different levels of realization or vigyan. You know, vigyan. Vigyan is most important. Vigyan is something that is like Krishna reveals, isn't it? Reveals himself, reveals this transcendental knowledge, or allows that transcendental knowledge, which is actually within us, because spirit soul by nature has all this transcendental knowledge. It's simply covered right now. Of course, this whole aspect of, you know, being situated in the mode of goodness and beyond brings some interesting discussions in the context of, let's say, Varnashrama Dharma, because we know that, you know, generally the whole system of Varna is connected with the modes of material nature. But when one becomes a devotee, internally he transcends those modes, but externally he performs different activities which may be related to, you know, these modes of material nature. But if he's rightly or properly situated in consciousness, he's not affected by the gunas, and can, you know, continue to advance in spiritual life. I wanted to leave a few minutes, and I think we have, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes left for any possible clarification, discussion, comment regarding the verse or whatever we have tried to speak about a little bit on the verse. Hare Krishna.